Why am I making such a stink about cloudy skies overnight? Well, because it's time for Astro Bob King, who will tell us about all kinds of marvelous things in the sky that at this rate we are never going to see. Howdy there, Starshine.
Oh, what an intro.
Oh, I'm just a little bit, you know, started to kind of get into the stargazing, you know, a little bit. And now, you know, I've looked at clouds from both sides now.
Oh, well, you know what? Don't take the weather forecast, at least for tonight, too seriously. Because although it's supposed to be cloudy during the day, my little forecaster shows that it will start to clear up this evening at around 8 o'clock.
Nice.
So, and then stay clear past midnight. Now, there'll be more clouds tomorrow, but I think there'll be an opportunity for some clear skies this evening. So that's the good news.
Nice. Tell us more good news.
Well, we'll start with some bad news astronomically. Saturn and Jupiter, you remember Saturn and Jupiter, those beautiful little gems we've been watching ever since the spring.
Yeah, some people who weren't socked in with clouds.
Yes, and we saw the conjunction, some of us did, on December 21st. Well, they've been slipping away to the western horizon, and Saturn is virtually gone. I mean, it's so steeped in bright twilight now that you need binoculars to see it. Jupiter's still out there. If you go out about 45 minutes to maybe up to an hour, but no more, after sunset, you'll still see Jupiter about two fingers. You put your fingers together horizontally, your index finger and your finger beneath, and hold it at arm's length. It's only about that high above the southwestern horizon, so you really need a good open view. So Jupiter will be out for a few more nights, both planets will be in conjunction with the sun later this month, which means just the way they were in conjunction with each other, they're going to be lined up with the sun, which means that's it for now. We won't be able to see them for until later in February. So they'll be gone for a little bit, taking a well-earned vacation after all of their beautiful pairings. But there is another planet coming back into the evening sky, and if it does clear up in time tonight, we might see it. It's going to be right alongside Jupiter, and that's the planet Mercury. And as those two gas giants, as they depart the scene, Mercury, the littlest planet, will kind of come up and give us some solace, like, oh, we're not losing it all. So Mercury will be there very low in the southwestern sky alongside Jupiter, but it'll be getting higher over the coming nights. So the best time to view the planet will be about 45 minutes to an hour after sunset, and the best time of the month is starting about now all the way through January 25th. That would be kind of the key time. So if you're out and you have a great view to the southwest in the evening, see if you can find Mercury. I always tell people, bring a pair of binoculars, because sometimes, you know, if you go out on the early end of that, the 45 minutes after, binoculars will help you spot the planet, and then as it gets a little bit darker, you'll be able to see it easily with your naked eye. So we've got a little planet action happening. The moon comes back this week. The crescent moon will be across from the planet Mercury on the 14th. Of the month, so we have a nice alignment happening there. And then, ta-da, the International Space Station returns on the 19th, and it'll be hanging out with us in the evening sky all the way through early February. So if you're out and you happen to see a really bright light in the evening hours, you're like, well, what is that thing moving? It always starts in the western sky, and it reaches a high point, and then it drops down into the east. The first pass for our region, it'll be a really nice bright pass, occurs at 6:40 p.m. on January the 19th. So maybe it'll be clear on the 19th, Lisa. What do you think?
I'm sure the International Space Station is super groovy. Oh, I'm thinking of, I got the International Space Station confused in my mind for a minute there with all the satellites that are going up for cell phones.
Oh, you mean the Starlinks?
Yes. And so yeah. I was about to say something sarcastic, and then I realized, You're not upset with the International Space Station. It's like the Starlinks that you're not as quite as excited about yet. Okay, well, you know, all right, I feel better.
Oh, pardon me. Go ahead.
No, I just said I feel better.
The interesting thing about the Starlinks is there have been very few reports of them lately, and there's a reason for that, and it's because SpaceX has installed visors on them, sun visors. You know, kind of like those green visors that people in newspaper newsrooms used to wear.
People
that played poker.
No, because we put our, Bob, we put our press passes in them.
You got to put your pass.
Back in the day, you had to have a press pass, and you'd put your press pass in the visor, and then you'd look like super cool. Well, I know that you, as an astronomer and a photographer, were not, you know, because everything I know about Starlink, I learned from you, Bob. And so you weren't that excited about all of the additional light pollution either.
Right.
But if they took somebody's complaints. Did you get in touch with Elon Musk? Did he listen to you, Bob?
Kicked his butt. No, just kidding. No, what happens is that the astronomers talk to Elon Musk and the Starlink engineers, and they did all of the recent Starlinks that have been launched have a special visor, and also they can orient them in such a way as to avoid reflecting sunlight back down here on the ground. They can reduce the amount of sunlight. As a result, most of the Starlinks, not too long after they're launched, are now too faint to see with the naked eye. You could still see them with binoculars, but they're no longer like what they used to be and what we fear. They're still there. They still pass through pictures if you're doing time exposures, but they don't have quite the presence that they used to, where they would just be out for night after night. You could see train after train of satellites. So that's an improvement.
So a little bit more good news. A little bit more good news. Hey, I'm liking
open a crack here.
I'm liking the good news, Bob. Keep it coming.
And one last thing, did you hear about the signal that was picked up from the star Proxima Centauri?
No.
Oh, it was great.
Tell us more.
We still don't know, and I've written a recent blog about this that at my most recent Astrobot blog. But, yeah, back in April and May, a radio telescope picked up a really narrow band signal, you know, at a particular frequency. And usually in nature, when something gives off radiation, it does it more broadly. A very narrow band frequency is something more typical of a civilization, you know, of something that can actually beam out radio waves. And so a number of astronomers are investigating this signal. It's like the best signal, potential ET signal, since the WOW signal of 1977. We still don't know exactly what that was.
That was disco, Bob.
That's, you know, I hadn't even thought about the disco ball thing.
No, I was there in 77, and that was definitely disco-related.
Anyway, it's most likely interference, you know, from some human-made source.
You know, when
satellite telemetry or whatever, but there's a remote possibility. It could be coming from Proxima Centauri, which is the closest of the Alpha Centauri star system. It's the closest star to the Earth. And this is what's kind of cool, is Proxima is orbited by two planets. And one of them is in the habitable zone, where liquid water is possible on its surface. So you can cook up a great scenario.
I'm loving this.
You know? But we don't know what it is yet, and there's going to be a paper. A group of scientists are, you know, putting this paper out sometime soon. It'll appear in early 2021. But again, it's most likely interference, but it's fun at least, while we don't know what it is, to entertain the possibility.
These are the same scientists, the ones that are saying that it's interference. These are the same people, right, that when somebody says, oh, look, the baby smiled, they say, no, it's just gas.
It's just gas?
Yes.
Oh,
I mean, they're the people that want to take the most disappointing spin, and they want to put the most disappointing spin on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. It's just part of what science does. You know, we have a natural tendency to leap to conclusions. You know,
right,
the most
right.
exciting possibility, whereas a scientist tries to remain sober, I'm sure
right.
probably it's hopping around in their head just like anybody's. But
they have to do their happy dance behind closed doors.
Do
and
dance.
We're
they,
relying on scientists to
right.
hang on to the scientific, oh my gosh, hang on to the scientific method with both hands. Because we need you now more than ever.
I know.
And just let us people who admit that we are not scientists do our little happy dance.
Sure. Yes, we can.
So.
There's and then, you know, we'll see what the results of this come out to be. The bad news is they picked the signal up a bunch of times back in April and May. And then nothing. Hasn't been found since. So.
Well, they said, look, we tried.
Yeah, we tried.
You
yeah,
idiots no, didn't, you know, respond. It's like we let it ring and ring and ring and ring and ring and you never picked up, so fine, forget it.
Well, I was going to say it's also possible that funding ran out at Proxima Centauri for the project.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, we're not getting any results. There's nothing out there.
Yep.
Shut her down.
Right. Yep. Yep. That could be. Well,
all
if
right.
we knew more about you know, their funding cycles, we'd know when we could maybe, you know, I mean, depending on the public will about the whole thing, we'd know maybe when this could get back up and running.
It's a whole new aspect of the problem.
Right.
That's what it is. So that's the exciting news from Proxima. And hopefully we will get a couple of clear nights so we can see some planetary movements in the evening sky. Meanwhile, Mars is still bright. It's one of the brighter winter stars, so to speak, and I'm going to be publishing a blog today about how you can use the planet Mars to locate two little really cute constellations called Aries and Triangulum.
Triangulum. Now, Aries, of course, people are familiar with, but Triangulum, is that like square?
You know exactly what shape that is.
Yeah. I'm such a goofball.
So it's what's peculiar about Triangulum is that you could make triangles anywhere in the sky.
Yeah.
They never made a cat in the sky, but they figured, you know, we ought to make a triangle. So they did. Whoever, back in the ancient Greek times and before. So that constellation is an old one, and it's been there. And you can use Mars to find it.
Okay. So lots of good stuff to look for. And, of course, you can go back. You can listen to this conversation. And you can find links to the blog posts that we're talking about on our website at KUMD.org. Mr. Bob King, let's talk again in a couple of weeks, shall we?
We shall. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Hey, maybe even we'll have some clear skies by then. Wouldn't that be a nice treat? Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy is a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on Northland Morning.